Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike. Let's...
Hello, everybody. I see we got the usual suspects. Hello, Fran. Hello, Art. Hello, Nora. And somebody sent this to me, and it sounds pretty good. I'm going to share this with everybody. But then what I'm waiting for is Bobby Tobaldo is going to call in. Hank McGrath from Bikers Against Discrimination on the East Coast is going to call in. And while I'm waiting for those guys to call in, I'm going to do a few things here and make a couple announcements. And I thought this was pretty good, so I'll play this for you guys.
What would you do if everyone you knew turned their back on you for something that wasn't true? And point their fingers at you for something you didn't even do. Something that didn't even have anything to do with you. When deep inside you always knew the hard, cold truth. That the ones who claimed to be your friends were never, ever really down with you till the end. But now you know just what is true. The bullshit and the lies you can see right through. Because the truth in their eyes speaks to the deepest part of you. Because deep inside you always knew that this facade ain't nothing new. That all the jealousy, hatred, and lies, that the truth about themselves is what they really despise. They dream your fall will help them to rise. But it's only the truth they really despise. Only shame on you for acting surprised. Because in the end, the truth will ultimately be their demise. Because their eyes are blinded by the darkness of their own lies. Ignorance and fear hides behind the guise of acting wise. But the truth can set you free. Because there is no justice and there is no peace. Accused by your peers, sentenced by your fears, condemnation beyond comprehension. Because there is no justice and there is no redemption.
It was Evan Seinfeld from... Rusty's new band, Atticus 7. And I got a request. Some people never heard track 4, but this is going to be on... I know, here we go. I'm going to plug this, but I promised I would do this. But this is called The Devil's Daughter. This will be... you'll see Rusty and his band playing this tonight, quote-unquote, on The Devil's Ride. And if you've never seen those guys play, they kick some ass. I'm going to play this one right now, and I'll be right back.
Thank you.
Hey guys, I got they're trying to hit me from the outside, and I got the white van parked out in front of my house again today. Fucking assholes ain't got nothing better to do. But while I take care of some, this is another song from Attica 7. This one's called Into the Blackness. Fucking van out in front of the house again. They're trying to jam up the system. Hello, Hank. Hello, Hank.
Yellow.
Hey, Hank. I said I got the white van out in front of my house. They got nothing better to do. Are you there?
Alright.
Okay.
You there?
Yeah, are you there?
Yeah, I'm just got a quick phone call from somebody on the road.
I'll be right
with you, but I'm on, alright? This is Hank, alright?
Alright, I'll mute you for now then.
Alright, brother.
Okay. Hello, 978.
Yo. What's up, Phil?
Oh, man, I apologize. There's a lot of shit going down, and, you know, I tried to do some stuff on my page, and it didn't work out too good, and I apologize for that. And I wasn't telling you what to do. Okay.
No problems, bro. You know, I respect you, and, you know, I like you, and we do good on the show together, and I always like to come on your show, so.
I unmuted Nora.
Hi, Nora.
This is Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Excuse me.
How are you and Paul doing?
Well, I had a fourth heart attack. So that's probably why you haven't heard me much. Yeah, my fourth heart attack. And my brother just died.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. But I'm still alive. My brother just had stomach surgery.
I talked to him before his birthday. And then I called him, wished a happy birthday, and then I sent me a friend request and didn't get any response. I'm like, oh, my God, what happened to him?
I don't go on there much anymore. I mean, I just went on.
No, it's okay. They don't have that thing going anymore. That's all done. It's closed out.
It should be done because they were nailing the wrong people. You know?
Oh, exactly. Exactly. And I'm sorry I couldn't make amends of what should have been done.
You know, when people start using Facebook to make decisions on who they're going to be friends with, they really need to think about that because, you know.
Facebook is just the internet. It's not real life.
I mean, these are people, the people that are telling you what to do on Facebook. You'll never meet them, okay? Most of the people on Facebook are crazy anyway. And, you know, you've known me for a long time, Nora. You've known me for a decent amount of time, so it's Phil, you know.
Right.
And for people to go on there and say, oh, you know, Pete is a bad guy. Well, show me proof. What did I do? I don't even say anything to anybody.
You're not
you know?
A bad guy. I never said you were. I was trying to get you back normal, you know.
I know.
Unfortunately,
you, so
you know.
I let everybody
other...
back, and it's all good, you know.
I know.
I got Hank.
I'm glad that you're home. Is your brother okay after his surgery?
He's having some complications, you know.
Please, when you see him next, let him know I said hello and to get better soon so I can talk to him on the phone. I know he enjoys that.
And you can call him anytime because he's out of the hospital. He just got out of the hospital like 4 days ago, 5 days ago.
Oh, okay.
From
then
a
I'll
stomach
call
surgery.
Him tomorrow.
And I'll tell him because I'm going to see him in 10 minutes.
It'll be 1 o'clock your time tomorrow.
I'll have to call back
it'll
in
because
I'm driving to, you know, Paul and I don't live together anymore. I have a house now and, you know.
Well,
I'm
good for you.
So Paul is like, you know, he has the apartment and, you know, he's, I go
right.
out there every other day and check on him and we hang out and stuff. But,
okay.
Well,
let him know. I'll call him tomorrow at 1. I still have that number, but if you got a different number, send it to me.
Well, you have my house number and you have my cell number, so those are basically the two numbers that...
Okay, the same ones. Okay. Okay,
yeah.
I'm sorry, so let's get back to business. I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. Then the other person we have on the line is from your neck of the woods, Pete. Is that you, Stacy?
But of course. I'm here with Bells on as usual.
I don't hear
Welcome.
Them.
You don't
bells,
hear
who? Right?
I don't hear the bells.
The bells. Oh,
don't
sorry.
Finger your bells.
oh my God! The size of the Liberty Bell, man. Okay, so what's going on? What's all the chaos? What's happening?
We can't say anything yet. It's for them to talk, and then we wait.
Yeah, Hank's on a call. If he's done, I unmuted him to see if he's done. He hasn't answered yet,
yeah.
So he's probably still on the phone.
Yeah.
But he'll be here in a minute. We got some breaking news that's coming up. Pete, I don't know if you got a deal on it or not yet.
Hold on, Phil. I'm driving through a town where the cops always stop me, so I got to put my seatbelt on.
Okay.
And literally two stops in a
week.
Well,
if ever you get a chance to get back on, Pat, or Pete, add me back. I sent you a request.
I'm not Pat.
I know. I'm sorry. I was
looking. You know who Patrick is, but anyway. I'm going to call
back
in.
No, he's a moron. We ain't even fucking going there, Pete. We ain't even going there. I'm sorry.
I'm not saying nothing.
Neither am I, because that'll just spew me like crazy. No, my neighbor found a little 2-3-week-old little kitten, so I'm sorry. I called you by the kitten's name.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
You guys, I'm not going to mute you, but I'd like you to hold on a second.
We will.
Hello, Todd.
Yeah.
Hey, man. Okay.
What's up?
Hank's on a call, so I'm waiting for him to come back. And Bobby hasn't called in yet, but he's gonna. And I figured I'd bring you on. We'll give a little plug to your thing and what we're gonna talk about between the three of us. I can't exactly say what it is yet, but
no, we can't do that. That's not gonna happen. Yeah. I own I-5 bail bonds company here in San Diego County. So we do all bail bonds for San Diego and all through California. And we also do fugitive recovery agent work for different bail bonds companies that can't handle it themselves. So
okay.
That's basically a nutshell. It's called I-5 bail bonds.
Oh. I haven't had the need of your services yet, but you'll be the first
that's
one I call. Well,
yeah,
you'll be the actually, it'd be the second one I call.
Yeah. Call me first and call the attorney second.
Yeah. But, no, and then there's a lot of things going on, and basically I was coming down 5 the other night, and I got pulled over. Just to ask me what the hammer was, why the hammer wasn't inside my saddlebag instead of on top of my saddlebag.
Right.
And I proceeded to explain it to him, and he didn't believe me. And he wanted me to, he said, you got proof of that? I said, yeah, but it's in my saddlebag, but I'm not opening it because you're not going to see what's in there. Well, what are you trying to hide? I'm not trying to hide anything. He said, and I said, why did you stop me? He said, well, you look suspicious. I said, what do you mean by suspicious? He said, well, you're wearing that full face with the dark shield. You don't want anybody to see you? I said, no, actually, I'm driving into the sun. So it was going nowhere fast. Basically,
yeah.
he just basically, he just filled out a contact card, and I turned all that information over to Ashby in an email.
Yeah. I'm thinking about business cards made with your rights on the back of them and pass them out for bikers, because I'm a biker. And most of these
right.
guys don't know what the fuck to say or what to do. They get themselves in their trouble.
Uh-huh.
Best thing to do is keep your mouth shut and don't divulge any of your information and don't speak.
That's it. Bill's favorite two words. Shut up.
The less you talk to them, the less they can get their little mind wandering. And it's a little mind. You got to remember, they're civil service employees. That's the reason why they got that job. They're not capitalists.
Okay.
I'm a capitalist. I take risks. I'm a lending institution for people who make poor decisions. And I have to be able to figure out if I want to loan my money on a bond to people like that. So obviously I'm smarter than the cops.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing we're friends.
Like I told the cop, I said, I'm a banker. He goes, what bank you work for? Bank of Cheney. I have five bail bonds. I loan money to people who get caught making poor decisions. They're accused of it. They're not convicted. They're accused. Oh, you think you're all that. I know I'm all that. That's just why you're a cop, and I'm not.
Yeah. So. Yeah, we had a little incident. I had a little incident in Yuma with those guys from Homeland Security, and one of the club guys was with me. So he happens to be the president of the County Boys, and they were calling him the Country Boys. And the last word he said to those guys was, well, you know, if you guys would have scored 15 more points on the exam, you guys could have been firemen too.
That's it. Yeah, I'm not too impressed with most of those guys. So
no, and I think all the Homeland Security guys are the guys that can't make it on a regular police force. And they're just like, to me, they're just like a step above a security guard. That's it.
Yeah, they're the guys that just didn't have any fun in high school. Now they want to take it out in the rest of their life when they get older. Then they realize, fuck, I don't want to do this anymore, but they don't have any job skills except for being a jerk off. And then they get in trouble. So they have a miserable life. I have a wonderful life.
Exactly.
You know? They pick their destiny. They want to be an employee the rest of their life and work for the government in a guaranteed paycheck and a guaranteed this. There's no guarantees in life. That's the reason I'm in this industry. I make it out of my own choices. And if I lose my money, it's from a bad decision I made.
Uh-huh. Well, like I said earlier, I'm glad we're friends.
Me too. I like you. You're a nice guy.
Yeah.
So what's the breaking news?
Well, the breaking news, I'm waiting for Hank to get on. He got a call. He just had to take a call. He'll be back in a minute. But I'm waiting for another guy to call in from up north. And he hasn't called in yet. But it's going to be about, I got to let them guys tell you, man. I promised I'd let them guys do it.
Yeah, you got to keep your promise. Let him talk. So, that's cool. What else is the conversation about this evening?
This and that, but basically, I promised that I would let everyone know that Rusty's band is going to be on, quote-unquote, the Devil's Ride tonight. And they've been using his music throughout the shows. But they're going to play at that clubhouse tonight. And I played the song they were going to play, and then I started to play another one. But them guys in the white van are out front of my house again, man.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I saw them in a show last week. And these clowns are taking a body out in an old ratty-ass boat. You see that show?
Yeah.
Okay, I was laughing because you see in my boat, right?
Right.
Okay, don't ever listen to your mom. Crime pays. It's a good business to be in. There's always customers, put it that way.
Yeah.
I was like, what a ratty-ass piece of boat and what a bunch of clowns. So.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. It's a very different show, I can say that.
Yeah. It
not
is.
For me.
And basically, I was told by someone in that show that I was told to, like, I let everyone know last week that it's scripted for TV. It's for ratings. They had 1.5 million viewers last week. They're supposed to get a little bit over 2 million tonight, probably more so. It's been promoted real heavy. And we find out what the inner turmoil is between the clubs.
Oh, yeah, drama. Like Winston Churchill says, bad press is still the same as good press. It sells. Controversy sells.
Yep.
I do a lot of reading. So, yeah, it's, the show's a little different, but it's kind of funny. Billy used to be our bartender when we were, and he didn't even have a bike in those days, and now he's the president. That's kind of a crack up.
Yeah, well, you heard about him, right?
No.
Yeah, somebody slipped him a couple of roofies. He woke up with no clothes on, and I understand that his ass hurt.
Now, childish talk is not good. That's funny, though. And he's a bartender. He's no better.
Yeah.
Never know.
Yeah, exactly.
It's funny. I was watching that show, and I saw the Sons of Anarchy show. And the writers need to get their stuff straight. Like on the Sons of Anarchy, that show, they had these clowns getting picked up by the bail bondsmen, or you can call them bounty hunters, but we work both and both. It depends on the case. And the guy was wandering out of Oregon, one of the guys from the Sons of Anarchy crew, and I think he was an Irishman. And his bond, he's wandered for 2.5 years. First of all, there's no bail in Oregon, so you can't bail out, no commercial bail. And second is, if you're wanted, from the day your warrant is issued from the bench by the judge, the bail agent's got 180 days to get your ass. If not, he's got to pay the full bond amount. After that 180 days, you have a court hearing with the judge, and you got 31 days to give him the money. If not, you go to jail.
Right.
So those guys should be aware of stuff like that before they French it.
Uh-huh.
Tell me if you have any questions.
Sure, I'll do that. I'll pass that on for you, which I already passed on that other thing you asked me to do. And let's see. This weekend, they're going to have High Bars, Low Cars is put on by the SFB chapter. It's going to be up in Chatsworth, and it starts at 10, and it's till whenever. I think 6 or 8 o'clock, but it's always a good time out there.
I'm going to roll up to that. I want to get my picture taken by the feds.
Yeah, there you go. No. But, let me see. Hank, are you back yet, Hank?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I have my friend Todd. He's he owns I-5 Bail Bonds here in California. And I told him he needed to call in because we had some good stuff to talk about. And I'm waiting for Bobby to call in. He said okay, he was calling, so he hasn't called yet. But if you wanna take the reins, Hank, we'll go from there.
Yeah, I heard Pete. What happened to Pete?
He said he was driving through a town that he had to put on his seatbelt and get off the phone, so he called back in a few.
Yeah.
He said it was a town where the cops always pull him over. But just so everybody knows, this is Hammer and Hank. He's the he's the man in charge of Bikers Against Discrimination on the East Coast. I'm a member on the West Coast, and we report all the discrimination that happens to us bikers.
That's right. Bikers Against Discrimination, which is badass and bad association. All right. Its headquarters is in New York State, where we're constantly embattled with the law. Our approach is much different than groups like Abate, etc., in that we're only concerned with bias and discrimination. We don't give a fuck about helmets, and because as far as I'm concerned, I wear a helmet, the cop doesn't know who I am. So I don't give a fuck about shit like that. We care about civil rights, that bikers aren't discriminated against based on what they look like, what they believe in, what they ride, and their culture in America. And we defend the American biker culture. So we're just totally soldiers on that, and that's that. We don't believe in political negotiations. We don't believe in compromises, all right? It's just complete war on the issue of civil rights, all right? And it's a fresh fight. It's pretty good. And one of the reps we just initiated was Bobby Tibaldo. All right?
Which he's on the line right now, Hank.
Northern California. And how you doing, Bob?
Good. How are you, Hank?
All right, brother. And, of course, we're honored to have him. And what we did is, through long discussions, several hours of drinking beer and smoking joints while talking on the telephone, we came up with one of the most important things that we believe, all right, one of the most important things that we believe should be initiated in 2012 to give us power in 2013 to approach Congress and approach Senates asking for hearings where people can come testify as to actual cases of discrimination. Now, what that power piece is Bobby Tobaldo. He's now the bad advisor on the Information Fusion Center development. We're going to create a fusion center that's going to obtain information used by all kinds of organizations like U.S. Defenders, NCOM, anyone else. We feed information into this fusion center of sheer bias and discrimination against those in the American biker culture. And, of course, it's protected on a thumb drive thereafter. But just like the authorities create information, a lot of it false, against citizens in America, we're going to create our own fusion center. And I'll let Bobby talk about the philosophy of that and how important that is. Bob?
Well, thank you, Hank, and thanks, Phil, and those listening on the air today. Fusion center actually is a term used by the federal government itself to label a number of data processing centers throughout each state, of which there are seven here in California. I can't remember the total number spread across the United States, where information and intelligence on that was originally developed to consolidate information on terrorist activities domestically and foreign has since expanded to pretty much basic information, general information from a variety of different sources on the common citizenship here in the U.S. The thing what we were looking to do here, and I don't want it to be confused necessarily with, you know, what's going on with fusion centers, because like Paul Landers, U.S. Defenders, have been very strong advocates of state by state, and hopefully at a national level at some time too, legislation against police authorities collecting information or stopping people on the road, specifically for the purposes of obtaining information that's used to funnel to the fusion centers across the land. So in my discussion with Hank, the idea was, because over the many years, many motorcycle rights organizations have been asking for traffic stop forms. I know NCOM has had in the past reports of discrimination. The problem I've had with it is, where in the heck is it going, and how can it be used, and who uses it? Okay, it's very similar to when we, you know, fill out personal information on the web. It goes into a black hole, and then God knows what's being done with it. So the idea here was, you know, together as a series of organizations in partnership, come to terms and agreement that information, everybody realizes that the information is valuable, and then we need to collaborate and consolidate information like this so that the data that we bring together can be used by any organization, any club, or any independents or any groups to help them in either a civil lawsuit case in defense of themselves or in legislation, as Hank put it, to provide a very sound body of evidence to pitch to legislators to show them that there is a problem. So it's not unlike this business term I'm going to throw it out here called business intelligence. It's been in use for many, many years. Big corporations have been doing it. And that is basically bringing all disparate pieces of information together from different sources and different data types, no matter how abstract, into a database, and then through, you know, technology and manipulation, finding correlation. So you can establish patterns, you can do reports and everything else. So the same type of technology here would be applied to bring together the different types of forms or anything that is out there, scanned pieces of information, verbal reports, handwritten reports, et cetera, into some common format where we can take that information and start extrapolating and creating statistics and things like that. So that's basically the gist of it. It's actually using the information, bringing it together, telling a story and making it work for us. It's very much like what the government is doing to us. We need to have the same capability.
Yeah, now that's badass in news, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. We do have, we do have some
development. What I've been doing is I get everybody that gets stopped or whatever, and I get all the info. I got a lot of guys that I've given the IA complaints to have filled out, and some have taken them in and some have not. But it's like anything else. 9 out of 10 are going to do it. They want everybody else to stand up and say, well, why don't you do it? No, you do it.
Right.
That
well, part of it is...
Well, you're always going to have a large mass of people, all right, living a commonality, you know, and then you're going to have some that are going to stand out and fight, and those are going to be righteous cases that will have, you know, information in a fusion-like, you know, information development center, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The masses are always represented by those who actually fight. We know that theory actually works, so... We can't expect everybody, you know, to fight their ticket or whatever, but we really do need, BAD really does need, all right, absolute evidence of discrimination, like the Tyler and Pepys case. I mean, absolute discrimination like that. You know, you arrest one person, and then a couple of days later, you let them go because they're friends of yours, and 3 weeks later, you go arrest two brothers who because they're in a club, and then you charge them with gang assault, even though they have a license on their wall to be a legitimate fucking club. All of that is discrimination. You know, we need solid cases to approach Congress just as if we're African-Americans and it's starting all over again. Because civil rights just don't belong to one group of people here in America. It belongs to the American biker culture. And we need to take it by force. And the only way we can do that is strategically create ways in which we can get information. And that is what's so good about the idea Bobby was working with me on.
Well, just to... let everybody know what's going on here. So, I mean, this idea really isn't unique. And through the U.S. Defenders Program, they've already been moving down that general direction. It's just a matter of how it's going to be done and who's going to be basically doing it, right? So the focal point for the collection of traffic stop forms, collection of video evidence, collection of civil case and criminal case lawsuits will be my state commander, Mooney, here in the state of
That's
California.
Right.
And then as we will continue to develop this tool, which obviously, you know, right now is in prototype, and, you know, I guess this is where the rubber meets the road. In order to actually develop anything, we're going to need a little bit of money to do that and maintain it and grow it and mature it. So, I mean, those things are being discussed as we go. But to add to what you were saying, Hank, and I think really important, in more recent years, what's really turned the corner in our ability to show legislators, media, everybody, this pattern of discrimination is video evidence.
That's
okay, because
right.
it's one thing to have all these written forms, but there's nothing more compelling than watching a cop, you know, misuse their power, their badges, thinking, you know, they have more rights than we do, and jack us up or take pictures. And I think one of the things that turned the corner for the state of Washington, and they keep U.S. defenders keep bringing it up, was this video image of a police officer hiding in the bushes, and this is at their state capitol. while they're there to celebrate their First Amendment right to free speech and, you know, be represented, you have these cops going through bushes, taking pictures of bikers' licenses, and you know, that was very compelling, and that's why we, within, you know, all the MROs, MMA, and otherwise, are telling everybody, you know, the technology is cheap. Get these little video recorders. They're only $45. They're portable. It's really, really important. Plus, the smaller cameras that you can attach to your vest or somewhere else aren't the handheld variety, which sort of gets police officers up in arms. Because when you extend your arm and put it out, you know, then they start saying, you're getting in my face.
It's a weapon.
Keeping me from doing what I got to do. Right, exactly, or whatever.
Yeah.
So as long as your hands aren't involved, it's a hands-free, you know, headset-free, you'll find it a lot easier. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. I'd also like to shoot out that there's other little moves that BAD is making. BAD is a national organization that, again, just fights, centralizes on discrimination, civil rights, human rights, and constitutional rights, just straight up. And one of the moves in New York we made, we just had a victory recently, a small victory, it's little chips, and that's Carmella Brown, a New York rider, initiated a campaign after some deaths of motorcyclists in the beginning of the season here. We met with a Senator Ritchie. Now, what's important about what I'm telling you is, all right, I'm just get it. Just pay attention, you guys. Ready? All right. Carmella Brown, she's a woman. She's an owner of New York Rider magazine. Okay. She initiates and calls up various organizations like a bait, all right, and asks them to send reps, etc. Okay? We're all going to meet with Senator Ritchie and propose safety measures. We're not taking any more shit. You got to put signs out. You got to start warning people. You got to start warning a motorist. You got to put on commercials. You got a public service announcement. Come on, because people are just ramming into bikers out here. You know what I mean? And in the beginning of the season, it was four deaths. Like the first day, bam, just like that, four deaths. All right.
Yeah, a 26-year-old kid in Wisconsin, 10 bikers.
Yeah. So it's just like that. So what we got, besides all the things we asked for, the one thing that we did get was we got the, you know how they have them emergency road signs that tell you how long it'll be or watch out for this? They now and then program them to tell you to watch out for motorcyclists. But the law that was passed the other day was to include, it's shocking that this isn't done all over the United States already, I mean, when they've made coloring books, but to include education in the driver's manual about motorcyclists and included in the DMV instruction here in New York to drivers about motorcyclists. I mean, I'm shocked that didn't exist a long time ago when you have all these great groups that have fought for rights for 40 fucking years, all right? So the point I'm making is the only people that showed up, all right, was Carmella Brown, all right? She's an honorary BAD rep. Ben Rabin, an attorney, all right? And he's a bad legal advisor, a 1%er trucker, all right? Now, this is important because that makes a little history there, you know what I mean?
Right.
And myself, of course, executive director of BAD, we showed up and met with the senator and stressed our different positions from discrimination to everything that all of us came out with. And what's important is a 1%er was present then, all right? Now, at first, we hit a roadblock. Because they told us that, hold it, we already have a group that we deal with that represents you guys. Who's that? Abate. What? I'm not a member of Abate. You see, what happens is when you exist for a long time, all right, and again, this is the executive director's position on BAD. When you exist for a long time and you make some friends in legislature, all right, you don't understand that you might be blocking the door for other people that are fighting for rights, and you create a monopoly, all right? And you end up compromising and shit like this, and you don't really represent the masses. And if you don't represent 1%ers, you don't represent the fucking masses or the culture, period. All right? All right?
We got some ladies that have a few questions.
All right, but
Fran,
hold on.
Go ahead.
Ready? Hold on, brother. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Did you just cut me off, man? Did you just cut me off, Phil?
No, you're on.
You're on. I hear you.
Yeah, all right. Let's hold up on the question.
Yeah, so let me finish here. All right?
Okay.
So what happened is we got the bill passed. But now there's an attitude that we blindsided, right, some other well-established group for many years, who's been established for many years. Now, the point I'm making is, who cares? When you get a bill passed, who cares who got it passed and how you got it passed? Do you understand? The monopoly of organizations and groups should be done and over with. Everybody needs to fight for rights in the biker culture. All right? That's the point.
That's it.
Okay, may I ask a question?
Yes, you may.
Okay. Hi, I'm Nora. I'm from Chicago. Now, since you're doing this and this is taking place in New York, is there a way to make this to where other people can get involved in this? Or is it just working in your state at this moment?
All right. Bikers Against Discrimination, right? You can find membership. You can find membership at free1percenter.com.
Okay.
That's all words. Free1percenter.com. You'll find out all the news, etc. We're a national organization. We just fight civil rights. It's sort of like, I don't want to use a comparison, but it's sort of like ACLU, in a sense. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Or it's sort of like various groups that took the leadership to fight for black rights during the struggle of the African-Americans here in the United States. It's sort of like that, that kind of activity. And so we reach out everywhere. It's a learning process. If you have an attitude, all the better. You know what I mean? Because you use that attitude as an energy to fight.
Every one of these ladies on the phone that's unmuted right now has attitude, Frank. All right.
Oh, yeah.
That's,
I do not.
That's beautiful.
I do not.
That's beautiful. But what's important is that you have to believe, all right, that the culture in America is a historical culture. It's part of history. It's third, fourth, fifth generation. It shouldn't be wiped out by allowing federal government attacks on the central nucleus and the key keepers of that culture, which are 1%ers, that everyone should be protected, and you're not second-class citizens. Bikers are not second-class citizens, all right? If you believe that stuff, then you can easily be a member of BAD and help out.
Okay.
All right?
Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it because I can't wait to get on your site there and get in this.
Yeah, well, feel free to contact me anytime, and we're interested in Chicago, all right? It didn't burn down yet, Chicago?
No, it did not, surprisingly enough.
Oh, I thought it disappeared.
But it's okay because, you know, I can reach out to people here, you know, to help.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Please contact me at badbikerrights@yahoo.com, and my name is Hank, and I'll help you along the way, and you know.
Okay,
all right?
Hank. Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Phil get me the information. And because I co-host with him on Tuesdays, okay?
Yeah.
So this way I'll get the information from him, and then I'll come directly from you, and you'll know because I'll say, this is Nora from the Phil Show from Chicago. So you'll know exactly who it is.
Yeah, cool. No, Phil is for a number of years. He's been the rep in California reporting cases of discrimination in California. Now that we have something solid going here with Bobby Tobaldo, all right, and with our working with NCOM and U.S. Defenders and the kind of support that we're looking to give, we're studying organizations. We're even tied in with the Oath Keepers. So, I mean, we're tied in with a lot of different movements that actually affect the American biker culture and the rest of the citizens of America. Everybody's in the same situation. You know what I mean? So it's a healthy thing, and you're welcome to get the information from Phil and contact me anytime.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. Sharing this. I'm sorry.
I also put it up in the chat room.
I
have a question.
Go for it.
Okay, when people get discriminated against, certain things happen. But what I'm curious about with your organizations and you're trying to strengthen them, are you people going to keep track of the wonderful people that continue to discriminate against certain groups of individuals? Because I have read and talked to and Christ, donut shop talk about the same law enforcement individuals doing the same things to individuals. And I'm just wondering, will you have records of those things? You know, I mean, they can charge the common public with, like, habitual offense. Could an enforcement individual be charged with something, like, on that level type deal if it was found that he is just distinctly attacking a group of individuals over and over and over again for, debunked reasons?
Yeah. This is what we're trying to do. See, this is, it's a big psychological move. There's a lot of strategy going on. You know, like some of us are in hidden bunkers and we're actually figuring shit out like you're watching fucking Hitler with a map on the fucking table, all right? We're figuring out strategy, how to make moves,
how to approach people. That's why a lot of times it sounds like I'm angry, because I'm purposely trying to upset groups like Abate, who I'm calling on to be more about civil rights than anything else, so they can get mad and say, oh yeah, well look, we got a civil rights group, and then they start fighting for civil rights and fight for one percenters and fight for, you see what I mean? So
yeah.
There's ways to strategically do things based on the circumstances, and as you heard, right, we're working with a bunch of a real solid, they've been working for years, U.S. Defenders. I've had Biker on Biker Lowdown for a number of years, Paul Landers, and have been backing them in the shadows, because BAD doesn't need credit for anything. You know, we're behind things all the time. The ideas convince you, and then I disappear, and you go fight. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas right now, a lot of people ain't willing to fight. It's a crisscross of psychology here. I'm a biker. I don't give a fuck what you think. Fuck that. You know, like that?
Yeah.
Well, that same kind of attitude kind of hurts the fight for rights, because you're going, fuck that. I don't give a fuck what they think. And, of course, you're being righteous about that, right? But at
right.
the same time, you have to give a fuck, because you have to turn around and say, you want to think that way? Yo, I'm becoming a member of BAD. I'm going to fight this. I'm going to become a member of U.S. Defenders. I'm going to fight this shit. Fuck that. You understand? So
oh, yeah.
we're trying to convince everyone that now is the time, it is the time, because you'll be more recognized. The biker culture is more acceptable now to the public, because the public's suffering too. Now's the best time to make your civil rights moves and be recognized and get the kind of support you need to make the changes. Once civil rights are changed, you have more civil rights, you're not treated as second-class citizens, you're not attacked by the government, all right, then that affects things like helmet laws and pipe laws and stuff like that. You know, like New York City just got whacked, police, right, for stopping blacks for wearing colored bandanas, you know, profiling like that, because they're gangs, right? Well, maybe
right.
they're not gangs. Maybe it's just a black guy wearing a red bandana, right? So
right.
you were that close. You see, if it works for that, then why isn't it working for us? Well, it isn't working for us because we need an attitude.
You know, on the back of my diner, right above the seat, I have a little grab, and right attached to that grab bar is an American flag. And do you know I got pulled over because they thought advertising for the red and white? And
what?
I said, are you fucking serious? And the guy said, we're advertising for the red and white. I said, look. Did you look at that thing, dude? It's a fucking flag. I said, better
you
yet,
know,
let me get off and tie it so it's upside down, because I need help. You guys are fucking, you're insane. It's a fucking flag. Well, it's red and
yeah,
white.
And then from now on, if they ever say anything to you again, Phil, from now on, right, you just simply tell them, yeah, I support a corporation. Yeah, I support a business. Yeah, I support a legitimate fucking club in America. Yeah, I support a family. Yeah, I support a brotherhood. What's your fucking problem?
Mm-hmm.
And that's that. And that's that. You're not going to tell me who I'm going to associate with in America. That's that. Don't flex on me. Don't even fucking flex on me, all right? You got a patch, I got a patch. You understand? This ain't a fight over patches. I support who I want to support. I like who I want to like, all right? And I have to protect the American biker culture, because that's what I'm about, all right? You're not going to change my mind. So take it on a fucking hop.
Hey,
do what you got.
I like that. I like
all right?
that. Yeah, I'll
you
try that.
You have to have an attitude. BAD gives you an attitude. You don't have it all day long. You can party when you want to party. Just remember, all right, be ready to fight for civil rights and have an
mm-hmm.
attitude about it. You know, let me show you two attitudes real quick. I'm sorry I'm taking so much time.
Oh,
all right,
no.
girls. All right, girls, check it out. Ready? All right.
Okay.
And Phil loves this campaign. One of the campaigns we have that BAD promotes and everybody giggles about is called the Breed 'em Out campaign. The Breed 'em Out campaign. All right? What I tell people is what we need to do is have more sex, create more children, all right, have more fun, raise our children to take over government, become lawyers, et cetera, exactly what those motherfuckers did that are in office now. That's what they're
yep.
doing now. All their children
you know,
are set up with big power positions.
You know, and
you
I believe
the same thing.
I believe sometimes in reincarnation. And I'd like to come
yeah.
back black, a woman, and a lawyer. I'd have it fucking made.
Well, I think I'm going to come
back.
Bell
with a vagina?
I'm going to come back as a fucking machine gun or something, all right? But listen.
Not me. I'm going to be a kangaroo.
Yeah. Oh, here's another frame of mind. These are frames of minds that are shared to stir things up. They're from long studies of what's said and what's not said. And then we're somewhere in the middle, all right? We're testing the waters, okay? How do you like this? I don't believe in having major discussions with politicians. I believe I should wipe my nose and shake their hand. I have no respect for them at all. Why? Because when they get in government, they know what you need. They know about bikers' rights. They know about motorcyclists. They know the culture of bikers. Come on. What do you think? They just came from grade school somewhere? They turn their back on you. So what are we doing? Going there, kissing their ass, hugging them, feeling all good for ourselves, going out and getting a beer and thinking we made a fucking difference with these fuckers, all right? Fuck that. Let's fight them in court, and let's fight them on the street by simply living how we live, how we defend ourselves, all right, and how we defend our civil rights, period. Don't ask politicians for something that's already yours before you ever get there. We're going to politicians asking them for our rights. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Think for a second, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We already have the fucking things. We're asking government to all of a sudden recognize that
but,
we have the same rights as everyone else.
That's the truth, but the problem
is... It's amazing.
Is when, the problem is when it comes to our people, you know, bikers of the world, America, whatever you want to call it, we always get the short end of the stick. It seems like they pull some type of ace card out of their pocket, and they're doing whatever they want to do and, you know, forget about everything else.
Okay.
And that's when you get your leery, quote-unquote, public that don't want to come forth and fight for people's rights.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Let me give you a hug for a second. Ready? All right. Now, listen. Our plan, several years ago, we began like 5-6 years ago and have been working on this plan solidly. That's why you have brothers like Phil and Bill. All right, is to take over as much media as possible, TV, radio, press, and start propagating the truth about the American biker culture, how these guys are taxpayers, how the women have children, how everybody's involved in different things, how they're a community, they help their community. Keep it going. All right, you don't know how real weak the propaganda machine is right now. It's very weak. Nobody believes anything they're fucking saying now. All right, now we get some more TV programs on cable, and we start pushing more for our rights like you hear everybody doing now, and the big change is coming. It's happening. Do you understand? But we need to breed them out. Don't trust them in office, all right? Fight in court and stay strong as a community and as a culture because it's a historical culture, part of America, all right? Like, look, all right? If you have Native Americans, right? And the government is playing a funny game. They're choosing who they're going to negotiate with. They'll choose an Irishman and say, this Irishman will represent the Native Americans. All right? It's the same kind of thing. They're trying to choose which biker groups they're going to listen to. So from now on, biker groups are all going to be together. We're all going to be in the same playing field. In the next 2 or 3 years, that's what's going to develop. Because the young members of all these groups are actually growing up and actually thinking about that. There's going to be a unified thing that's happening. This is the future. The culture will survive. Fuck them.
Fran, did you have a question?
Well, there's a couple things. I'm on your site now. One second. I'm on your site now, and it's interesting because I tried to register, and it automatically put me into the WordPress section, and I don't think that's where I was supposed to go. I don't know how I got hooked up into WordPress, but that's where.
Well, just go backwards. You know, you can generally do this on your own. Just go backwards. All right.
I'm going to do that.
And you tap membership, read it all the way down. When you see tap here, tap there.
Okay. Now, second, like years ago. God, I used to hand them out in driver's ed. We used to have cards where it would say what steps to do and actually question the officer
officer, am I being detained, so forth. And it would be kind of nice to have something that I can, that all bikers should have in hand, to pass out to other bikers to either join or just to inform of what's happening to them in their area. At this point, I'm trying to get back into the system, so to speak, and I just need to find out how I would fit into this and how I can be an advocate into helping and making sure that this works.
That's generally going to be shaped from our conversation. You and I will have a conversation, and it'll be shaped as from what your strengths seem to be, what your interests really are. Remember, all right, there's three different levels of bad, all right? The first is advisors, all right? And are you there? Can you hear?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead. Okay, all right. And where we study the fact that it's an actual historical culture, all right?
I've been trying to promote that.
You actually study the history of the American biker culture. Do you understand? We don't get involved in a biker club business, which is family business. I don't know what the neighbors across the street are doing, and I don't care what they're doing. You know what I mean? I'd care if they start getting discriminated against, all right? And that's our position. We don't get them. You there?
Well, that would be on behalf of COC anyway. That's totally different.
Again, I'd have to speak to you separately, not on a radio show.
All right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. You just kick your strengths and what your interests are. Write to badbikerrights@yahoo.com. Okay?
I can do that. An attitude. I don't know if you want my attitude any stronger than it is.
Well, an attitude is actually energy, you know what I mean? And it gets to be directed toward one thing, one solid goal thing. How is it possible today, especially when we have children? I'm 55 and I have a 3-year-old daughter, all right? I don't want her having to fight for something I allowed to occur. I don't want to have her fight for her rights when I didn't have the fucking balls to. So I'm fighting for the children, for the next generation. And, again, the American biker culture, right, is third, fourth generation now. All right? This culture has every right to exist. Do you understand? And we need to just fight for it, and that's what you do with your attitude. It's the solid sense. It's undeniable. We can find all kinds of other issues, but the one issue about being discriminated against is unquestionable.
Well, you know, like a lot of people don't remember this, but let me read this to you. The purpose of the United States Constitution is to limit the power of the federal government, not the American people.
Yeah, but as Bobby will tell you, we're in a day and age when the Constitution by government is not applied. It's only applicable to the people between each other, you know?
True.
Yeah.
So, at this point, if I happen to be going down the road, and it is a bike, it appears to be a bike. I have to use the correct terminology here. It appears to be a bike only checkpoint.
Right.
At that point, what do you wish us to do?
Well, if you have the ability to record, and remember, you got to check what the laws are in some states. Like in New York, you know, they think they're fucking tricky. In New York, they go, you can video but no audio, or you can audio but no video. What?
I brought that up last week, Phil, if you remember.
But that's the law. Yeah, that's the law. So you got to be smart there. You know, like I did when we did the movie teaser, we actually filmed the cop giving the guy the ticket at an Abate Freedom rally. We filmed it. and turn the audio off. So he, in no way could they try to get our work product. You understand? So if you can film it and then Twitter it, you know, we're going to work on some Twitter or some other contacts if people can use, what do they call them, for your telephone
YouTube?
Apps, right?
Oh, Skype.
Yeah.
Skype.
No, some apps to like roadblocks and stuff like that where you can send app information out right away that there's motorcycle safety only checks, checkpoints, you know, at particular
places.
Yeah,
we do that here. I got a little network set up. Everybody sends out a text.
Yeah. See, it requires, there's no easy answer. Everything requires a little creative work. But record everything that you can. You know, note everything you can in your head, all right? And, you know, be sensible, all right? Because understand, the citizen, for many of the authorities, I don't know why, but this is the modern time now. It's worse than ever. The citizen is the enemy. And the authorities are militarized mentally. So they have a right no matter what in their minds. You challenge that and you put yourself in danger. You understand? So you have to find a way to record these incidents.
I have been told several times to watch my P's and Q's. So,
The idea isn't to clash with the authorities. The idea is to weaken the authorities, not strengthen them, not giving them excuses. Their propaganda machine is so weak, it's ridiculous. They have to keep throwing on, you know, fucking documentaries on TV. The Hell's Angels are going to kill you, you know, and weird shit like this, all right? Because that's all they got. We just, Lisa Petroselli here in New York just created a book called The Gloves Come Off. And it's various biker, there's one percenters in it, there's various bikers in it, little biker biographies. It's really good, all right? It's called The Gloves Come Off. Well, a professor of psychology is also in the book. He studied the FBI's recent report on the dangerous aspects of gangs and motorcycle gangs, you know, and all this shit, right? And in his studies, he found that to his belief, to his assessment, and this is all new, this is just a month old, right, that motorcycle clubs and the motorcycle culture is a danger only to the government and certain agencies in the government. It's not a danger of the community. This is important shit, all right?
Yeah.
And these are the kind of changes we need, just like we have a friend who works for a library, a big state library. And they did some research and went and looked for biker books. And you know where they found biker books, even biker poetry books? Somebody take a guess.
Probably in the trash.
In the criminal
section. I'm sorry, that was not nice. I'm
in
sorry.
The criminal section?
In the criminal section.
In
the fucking criminal section. So, see, even a small thing like that makes a big difference. If you go through a library or a bookstore and you find a biker poetry book like Asphalt Range by Lawrence Chery in the fucking criminal section, pitch a bitch. What the fuck is this? The American biker culture is not criminals. It's not a criminal enterprise. It's a way that people live. It's generational. It's part of history. Cut it out. It's discrimination.
Can I make a request?
Sure.
And the request is, the books that you know that should be in, like, poetry section and so forth that are biker, could you, on your website, have a section so that I can...
No.
So now listen to me. And the reason is I can copy it and then go into the library.
I can tell you no. No, I just barely have enough room for gloves.
Okay.
All right. Bad... It just simply fights, all right? We're not a
I figured I'd take the list and go and fight in each library.
Oh, it's easy. It's easy for you. It's easy for you. Go try to find if they have a biker section, if they have a Native American section, if they have gothic books, if they have all these other sections, and they do have all these sections. Right,
yes.
Rob? Right, Phil?
Yes, they do.
Yes, they do. So shouldn't they have an American biker culture section? Help create it. You see?
She's the right one that can do that.
Yeah, help create it. Because you'll find that a lot of these people have Library of Congress numbers on their book, and they have a right to sue now. If, like Larry Sharee's Asphalt Range is put in the criminal section because it's a biker book on biker poetry and biker philosophy, right, he can sue.
Yeah.
You just simply contact him, and he will, because he's down with the move. You know, right. You go to AsphaltRange.com, and you'll see right away. He writes about the American biker culture. He's down with bad and stuff like this. He's down with the move. All right? Hello.
I'm writing it down, because then at least I'll go look for that book in the library.
Yeah, Asphalt Range.
Asphalt.
Now, of course, that's not A-S-S, F-A-U-L-T. All right? It's, it's asphalt, you know, like concrete, asphalt.
That's what I figured. It's the road.
Yeah.
In other words, bikers that meet the road.
Yeah. Listen, if you have an attitude, you can still have some humor there, all right?
I may be a woman, but I've got a couple years on you, and I still ride. And I was originally from New York and transplanted to Connecticut, and then out here in California. So,
well, just fight wherever you are, all right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you have on anybody.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I wasn't born.
I was hatched, okay? So
cool.
I'm just pure fucking trouble. And and I ask you to be the same. You know what I mean?
Can you guys do me a favor? I got to take a short break. I'm going to play this song. But I got to make this announcement. Attica 7 is performing never-before-heard music on the Discovery Channel's The Devil's Ride. The new full-length Attica 7 album, Blood of My Enemies, hits stores on July 31st. So tune in tonight to Discovery's new the motorcycle series, The Devil's Ride. And next week, the world premiere of select tracks appearing on the band's upcoming full-length album, Blood of My Enemies, which they're using all of Rusty's and the guy's music through the show. So let me play this song, and I'll be right back.
Got it.
Which, by the way, this song is called The Devil's Daughter.
I'm
everybody. Thank you.
You got it. Yeah, I wanted to also mention that out of California, Denise Savia, you know her. She's a member. She's a member of BAD as well now. So we're
good.
Welcome to have her.
Good.
And yeah. So, but I do want to stress, all right, that we are very happy with watching throughout the years, and I'm sure you are too, Phil. The hard work of Motorcycles Are Not Gangs, U.S. Defenders, NCOM. I mean, the last couple of years, I've been totally pissed that I can't get to the Biker Rights Alliance and conference they have every fucking year. Next year, I'm definitely going to make it. You know what I mean? But usually during that period, I am so tied into some operations that are going on. You know what I mean? Being the executive director. But it's very hard to get down there. So hopefully by then, like the last one was in Illinois. Look at that. The woman from Chicago could have went.
Yes.
See what I mean? See?
Yeah.
So that's why we need reps from all over. All over. Because this is about fighting for the culture. It's
but,
not which club is good and which club isn't good. What do we give a fuck? It's about the culture. They can work everything else out themselves. You know what I mean? So that's the deal, and I'm really honored to be on tonight, and I thank you very much. But also, Phil, I want to ask you real quick.
Sure.
Regional rep who covers Rhode Island, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Maine, New Hampshire.
He hasn't come back yet.
Our good friend Pete Bikovich, all right? you were giving him reason to cop delusions, man. You kept cutting him off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I explained to him that might have been by accident, right?
Yes, sir, it was. Somebody started spreading propaganda. Nora can attest to this. And people were demanding that you did certain things. And when I said no, and then when I hit delete on those and block or whatever you want to call it on the assholes that were fucking with me. He happened to get deleted by mistake, and I sent him a thing, but he never answered it. But then today he told us he had another heart attack and he hadn't been around for a while, so that's probably why
he's been pretty sick.
But
hopefully,
I've known
we'll be getting
for a long time.
All apologies were made, and we're on the same page now.
All right, good. We should be getting together, me and him. I went up there to Massachusetts with him, right?
That's
presented a President's Award to him. It was probably rather neat, man. And we'll be getting together for Laconia, hopefully, next week, you know?
Yeah, there's a friend of mine going to be out there. His name is Pete Alva. He's a photographer. He's also making a biker movie.
This is what we need. I wanted to tell you, Phil. Get some more, you girls too, all right? Look into your public access because, anybody who has cable, you actually pay for it on the bill, free public access where you can do your own movies and shows and stuff like that for free, all right? And have them on TV on a public access channel. Let's start getting them channels all over the place, Chicago, California, Northern California, everywhere, all right? On the biker culture, on good stuff. You know, you're able to fuzz out faces, you know, in case you get colors or people who don't want to necessarily be seen in the movie. You know what I mean? But you can put together a nice documentary about, you know, the biker culture and having fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, I have a question.
Sure, friend.
And the question is, if I am able to make the AMA Women's Conference, can I learn and pick up enough to get you out there among the women? I'm not sure what literature or what information that you would want. And again, I think this is a one-on-one conversation we will have to have later.
Okay.
But is that possible to have obtained enough from you to go do that?
Yeah, it's possible.
Okay.
As well, with the American Motorcycle Association, right? I had a long talk with somebody, okay, here in New York, who was representing AMA, all right?
Okay.
And I talked about the history of how, you know, 99% and 1% and all that came to be, right? And that AMA didn't exactly intend to separate bikers. But the government, from that moment on, created that kind of incident, all right, from the AMA situation, all right? And you have various groups now that are on the outskirts, all right, that are, let me give you an example. I talked to a religious group, and they go, we're not one percenters, we're two percenters. We help people. All right? I'm blinking at them. Do they know who they're talking to? What are you talking about? One percenters don't help people? Or another group told me they're a 99%er. The fuck are you talking about? What is this percent shit? All right?
Yeah.
What is this all about? Simply because the hierarchy, the center, you know, the history are one percenters? You know what I mean? Why all of a sudden must everybody else now, you know, acting friendly, of course, in front of one percenters, but behind their back, you know, saying we're this and we're that and we're not them. You understand? So that's a big part of the discrimination, too, that's going on. They're serving the government by doing that because they feel more protective. That police will be better toward them if they say, no, we don't support any one percenter clubs. You know what I mean? Stand
right
up and don't say that at all. Say, what's wrong with one percenter clubs? What's wrong with, you tell me what's wrong. We'll share some information here. You know what I mean? What's wrong? So the idea is we got to educate the public, you know? And your idea to get enough information to present to AMA is no problem at all, as long as AMA is receptive to stop being discriminatory toward the American biker culture. Everybody stop acting like their government representative saying, yeah, you know, bikers are good, except them guys over there. That's got to stop. And I wouldn't be part of any group or any organization or even be friends with any organization that propagates that bullshit.
The way I look at it is I'm not going to be representing AMA. I am a field rep of them. I'm assuming I'm still a field rep. So if I were to go to the women's conference and talk to women bikers about what that is,
that is
my legal right to do so because I paid my money to be there.
That's right.
So
you're right.
Me, you know, don't tell me. I mean, I had issues with a woman's group more than 10 years ago when it was a patch issue. And they said, well, you have to give the patch back. And I says, excuse me, you didn't say anything in the bylaws that said you had to be a standing member in order to wear the patch. Then why are you selling these patches to people at the
event?
They're
selling.
So don't even go there with me because I'll take you to task, and which is what I did. So,
yeah, and see, that, not to interrupt you, but that's the kind of stuff. See, there's already a culture. There's already a culture. Why don't they want to follow the fucking rules that protect them? How do you think 1%ers have existed so long? It's because they have a way of doing things, and that is the way. But these other people on the outside are doing this little sales shit, and that's disrespecting. It's making it like some carbon copy box shit, you know, that you get in Cheerios or Cracker Jacks. You know what I mean? Come on. Respect the culture and be proud of that you're in the culture and enjoying the mystique of it, right?
The problem I'm having is, number one, I tried in a couple of my groups to start educating the newer puppies that are coming in.
Right.
And the thing that I keep getting hit with, it's not our job. And I'm getting to the point with, well, whose job is it then if you don't want to educate them to what the rules are? No, you don't jump in the middle of a pack. You are not a member. Therefore, you ride in the back of the pack. Unless you're invited. You know, I mean, it's just, but I can't.
Well, there's certain club problems, you know, is private and has nothing really bad, doesn't involve itself in that kind of thing. You know what I mean? Certain club policies and whatever else. You got to really.
Well, I can touch on that one for you right here. I happen to have a chance to talk to a district attorney and a DEA agent a couple weeks ago, and they asked me, "Well, why is all you motorcycle guys have nicknames?" One club, everybody has nicknames. I said, "Well, they're not like the American Legion or the Veterans of Foreign Wars." I said, "They're a fraternal organization. They have their ins and outs and their bylaws and stuff, and I'm not privy to that information." And they got pissed.
Look, I've had a nickname my whole life. And when I went to the joint, all right, I had a nickname too, all right? And, you know, throughout life, I kept getting different nicknames. You know what I mean? It's just a part of how things go. But the American biker culture, all right, is right now ready, ripe, and rare, especially speaking at AMA to any of these sisters or whatever, all right, about protecting the culture merely for historical fact is important. And to realize that entire groups, you know, to actually sit down and talk about it. All right, you girls have a family, right?
Yeah.
Yes, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Now take all your family members, all right? Now you're a club. Make believe you're a club, okay? All right. Is there a couple bad seeds in there?
There's bad seeds everywhere.
There's a fucking bad seed talking to you right now. You know what I mean?
Hey, you know what? I'm right like on the border of Rhode Island and Massachusetts, so I feel the attitude, man. East Coast is notorious for that.
Yes.
We walk with a cocky attitude and we smile like we're up to something.
That's right. I used to live in Boston for a long time and actually smuggled,
I think you're on the show. I think you're on the show like a month or so ago, and I was here too then when you were talking.
Yeah, I used to smuggle acid across. I used to take a train to Rhode Island back and forth to Boston. I'd take the acid to Rhode Island, right? This is years ago. Nobody can do anything to me. Nice, beautiful sheets of acid with fucking Snoopy, you know, on them, right? And I'd come back with a big, giant, one of them rich people shopping bag filled with quarter pounds of herb.
Oh.
Right to Boston, right to my house, you know? I mean, that was the life. I had a good life then. So you see what I mean? I'm a bad person. So why not start bad association? Badassin', right? And my point with a lot of people that I talk to is that I'm worse than a lot of these bikers that they're pointing the finger at. I have an extensive history of armed robberies and extortion. I'm a terrible guy. All right? I'm worse than a lot of these guys. That's what I'm trying to say. These guys are really innocent and shouldn't be discriminated against at all.
Well, you had a very smart idea with the public broadcasting stuff because
as long as
society continues to tune in to these drama biker style shows, they're going to believe that what they see is so, you know?
That's right.
It's like if you do public broadcasting and you get word out and messages out and you speak with people, et cetera, people are going to be more in tune to pay attention.
You're right, and they do. They love it. When I stopped doing the Spirit of Biker Brother documentary show, which was going on for 3 or 4 years on public access throughout New York State and in Vermont and in Massachusetts, right? When I stopped, I went on to something else that I thought was bigger and important. I never got so many complaints in my life. Not just from biker people, but other people saying, "Hey, I used to watch that show all the time. You guys are crazy, man. That was really good." You know, right?
Yeah,
so right
absolutely.
Now I have a guy, Harold Bryant, who worked with HBO, you know, all kinds of companies. He's a professional. And we're doing a movie called The American Biker Culture. It's a documentary movie. We're finished at the end of this year. When two brothers, Tyler and Peeps, from the Highwaymen MC New York, will be released from prison, and we open up the first law library in the nation, the first 1% all right, dedicated biker law library in the fucking nation. We open up here.
That's
in New
awesome.
York.
That's
all right,
awesome.
So
hey,
this is what I'm talking about.
Bad
has an attitude, all right, and we're not going to stop.
I have something to bring up now that I have you on the line and Phil on the line. It was.
Yeah.
Stuff we touched base on the last show about audio and video recording, and I had stated when I went to New England Tech for video radio production, and we were taught, you know, this is going back a couple of years ago, we were taught that you need permission in this area to audio record in, but you can film anybody you want, but to get the audio, you need permission. And where Phil, are you still with us? Where'd he go, on a pee break?
Probably.
Well, Phil was saying
I'm looking
now
for that article you were talking about right now.
Okay, well, you were saying that society as a whole now, there are no more like privacy type of clauses type deal, that, you know, it's basically free enterprise. You can film because everybody's doing it, except you know, if it's a undercover secret, top secret operation or something like that. But you know, it'd be wise for everybody that feels that, you know, they might have somebody on their tail or whatever, you know, over and over again, to begin to film. But we need to know, you know, in concrete, what states allow the audio, what states allow the video, because, okay, we want to protect ourselves, that's fine and dandy, but like you said, we don't want to get arrested or hurt in the process. So, you know, if we know what states allow the filming, what states don't allow all the audio stuff, you know, that needs to be pushed out there too. Because I think there are discrepancies.
That's a great idea you got, and I'm glad you're working on that project. You're the best.
Okay.
All right. It'll take a couple weeks of research, and by God, you'll have it all right there in your notebook, and you can pass it on to everyone else. All right?
I think I'm going to do that now, because now I'm curious.
Yeah. Because let me tell you something else. There's also a company, all right? And this is what we do with bad, too. Many of the bad reps have on them reporter ID. They're part of a reporter operation. They're investigative reporters. And so that way there, if they're at club events or they're at certain events and there's a raid, they have to be released because they're the press. They're there to take a story.
Yeah.
They're there to cover rights. You get what I mean?
Yep, absolutely.
All right.
Question.
These are all solid moves to make, all right? Because you got to understand, they are working hard with the NDA and other kinds of things, even though that's frozen right now here in New York in federal court, where you can't intern U.S. citizens. But they're working hard to create that, because they have some big major plan. The more we can slow it down, the better chance we have in getting the rights, you know, before the shit hits the fan, you know?
Absolutely.
Right?
Question.
But you have to have time for sex, partying, and rock and roll, right? and breeding them out, right? Breed out the government. Breed them out. They get scared of something like that. Can you imagine if you had banners and everything else flying? Phil, you had 1,000 people at Washington with all these banners flying, going, breed them out, breed them out. They'd be like, holy shit.
Well,
you
know,
understand?
It's true with what you said, especially when it comes to government. You know, they were raised with golden spoons in their mouths. They give those spoons on to their children. They have
the
best education. Their kids have got the best education. And then you land up with three W's in a government organization. Right there is proof, you know,
amongst
the Kennedys right here in this area, you know.
Well, the Smith,
I mean,
you know, they have to quickly hide their name to Smith and other things. They still arrange marriages, for Christ's sake. And we're down here fucking anybody.
Yeah.
Fuck that. Give me a rebellious woman. Let's make sex right now. I'm 55. I will make a badass-looking Irish kid, right? And that kid will fight. Anybody, any call, just contact me. bad@bikerrights@yahoo.com. All right? I'm looking to breed out the government. I don't care.
Okay, I found this article. It says, no state has a law outlawing videotaping anyone or anything in public. Of course, you may not go to the scene of an emergency and be present while the emergency is in progress. By present, I refer to an unreasonable distance of the activity, putting yourself and emergency personnel at risk. A telephoto lens solves the problem. No one, even cops, the expectation of privacy while conducting police business in a place open to the public or a public place. Once again, I tell you, as long as they're not standing at a urinal taking a piss, walking into their house and showing their address, or undercover, they're fair game.
Okay. Now, it doesn't say anything about audio.
Hang on, listen.
Okay, I'm listening.
All right. There's no expectation of eavesdropping laws do not apply in a public place or a place open to the public. There's
no,
your question.
Right now, or have you get on.
Expectation of privacy. You cannot sneak up on.
Example. You heard what I said, right?
Having a private conversation and recorded right any back. More than doing to anyone else.
Okay, brother.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't know if
that's
you finished, but Larry Cherie, the writer there, all right, from Asphalt Range, right, was listening to your show, heard what we said. He called in, but you didn't see him yet. So he's calling
okay.
in right now.
His
and,
number.
I don't know what the number would be because I burnt the screen on my phone on my engine
okay.
today. But he's the founder of Road Scribes of America and AsphaltRange.com. This guy, you guys, is really cool, man. You know what I mean?
Okay. We've got Pete back on the line.
Okay, Pete.
All right. Hello. Hang on 1 second. Let me finish this here real quick so I can answer Stacy's question. You cannot sneak up on two cops having a private conversation and record it any more than doing so to anyone else. Public employees doing their job in a public place do not have a right to privacy and may be taped, recorded, and videotaped. No court has upheld any arrest arising from the misbehavior of officers who take cameras or cell phone memory chips based on an eavesdrop laws. No appeals court has upheld such conduct, and that's why it has not reached the Supreme Court yet. No city, county, state has applied appealed to the appellate courts. The goal of the police is to obtain your video or memory card and erase what you shoot before returning it to you. You always should have your cell phone set up for immediate email to your account. There are now apps for that. Stay a good distance away. Do it secretly if you like. Make your complaint to the Internal Affairs Unit of the police department without telling them you have film, but make sure your story matches exactly what the film shows. Be very specific. Wait until they exonerate. They claim it.
Hey, Phil, just give the link to that, man. Phil.
Wow, what happened?
What's going on?
Yeah.
That was Pete.
Losing.
That was Pete. I put him on hold for a second. But we have 503 on the line. Is this Mr.
Yeah,
Cherie?
Yeah, there he is. Yeah.
That would be
pull
me,
him up.
Yes.
Okay, how you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm doing good. I kept hearing this Irish pit bull on there, and I figured that would be some good talk going on. So I figured I'd get in on it.
Good enough.
How you doing? My name
is... We have Hank on the line. You're on the line. We have Pete on hold because he's got a lot of reverb. Fran out of San Diego. We have Stacy out of Boston and Nora out of Chicago, and I'm in San Diego County myself. And I'll
turn
it over to you.
Tell them what you do, man.
Hey, well, I've been riding and writing for well over 30 years and just try to cover a lot of different bases, a lot of different angles from the biker's perspective and, you know, just different types of storyline. As a matter of fact, I'm coming from you live from the criminal section of the local library right now. And
That speaks volumes.
Nice. That's a good, perfect word. Two volumes. I just listened to a lot of what you were saying, and I caught a lot of the show, and you know, made a lot of good sense. And then I just had to jump in there and, you know, throw in my two bits, and I just totally support the, you know, what you folks are trying to lay out there.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, where do they go to see your stuff? Asphalt Range, right? That's ASSFAULT?
He loves to toy with that one, I'll tell you.
Yeah,
it's asphalt, like what you ride on, everybody. What everybody rides on out there or walks on. Asphalt Range, ASPHALTRANGE.com. And you could find a lot of information out there, you know, basically what I throw on the website. And if you're so inclined, you can place an order for a book. And it won't break the bank. But it, you know, inside that book is over 30 years of just, you know, road. I call it road reflection.
Yeah. Could you, Phil, could he read that one poem, that one I love that you wrote about being
sure
a Viking? Don't discriminate against me.
I want to extend some to him, Hank. Hank, give him my email address, and I'll put whatever he wants to do up on the blog. Ever since, I have to give kudos to the Devil's Ride, because ever since I put a couple of things on my website about them, we're over 100,000 hits a day. Today it was 119.01.
Good, good.
Yeah. Yeah. So get the websites out for both parties here on the phone. The man from New York and the poet.
The man
who's sitting in a law library. So you know the common public knows how to either get a nice copy of some awesome biker poetry or you know their rights. You know, so get those links out on that website. So you know,
free1percenter.com. That's right.
There you go.
But on Larry, on that poem that I like about not discriminating against, can you run that? And see if everybody can reflect.
Well, it apropos, it's called An American Biker.
Yes.
It's, An American Biker. I tend to push the limits. I ride against the wind. I look upon my vices without the guilt of sin. I dig the smell of leather. I like the look of chrome. I prefer the feel of a woman without the silicone. I am all for getting even. I settle every debt. I have faced many a demon without a thought of regret. I believe in God and country. I know of sacrifice. I honor those who've given without regard of price. I am an American biker. I don't subscribe to hype. I ask only that you see me without the stereotype.
Yes!
That
is
awesome.
Nice.
That is awesome.
Yeah,
nice.
Very nice.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
So, Hank gives you my email, send me a copy of that, please.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Yeah. So, Larry, who destroyed your life and beat you up and got you involved and forced you into the biker culture like this? I mean, this is terrible.
No, that all came with freedom of choice. It's just a matter of it's something that's you can't learn to be some. And I'll be honest with you. Sometimes I even hate to use the term biker. I'll tell you why. Oddly enough, it's because we're just out there doing what we love. And when you start, to me, it's like a label. And I'm really I got a thing about labels. And I incorporate it in my work. But it's more for recognition within the ranks rather than just throwing it out there for occasion's sake or anything. And a lot of what you're talking about, I've been writing like back in 2002, right after that unfortunate incident in Laughlin. I wrote a piece there because if I recall correctly, the reason I wrote it back in 2002, it's called Colors, by the way. It was because of Laughlin at the time. Wanted to eliminate any colors coming at all, any patches, anything.
Right.
And I remember, it really hit me hard. And I wrote a piece called Colors in regards to that. And then Frank, you're familiar with the one We Are.
That's right.
There's a lot of this kind of writing in my book and where I come from. And there's a lot of other things too. Of course, I have a Toy Run section. I have Lest We Forget, which remembers our soldiers, our fallen guys, and those who do serve, and the older guys, and things like that. It's a matter of I think if I have to sum up my book and where I come from, it's just given due to the guys that have, and the ladies who have paid the price.
I want to write a book about sex with biker women. And I title it, I'm smart, I title it
Chapped Leather.
Did you and I have sex? So this way here, everybody who is jealous or something would buy it, and people would wonder, did I put them in the book, and they'd buy it. So at least I'd get my money back, right? You know what I mean?
Oh, you know what you could just title it? Oh, shit, was that your old lady?
yeah, like that, Did I do your old lady? And everybody buy the book, I'm going to kill that bastard,
I said to a cop, I said, hey, did a guy in a Harley fuck your old lady? Is that why you're fucking with us?
Oh.
Sure, I got like handcuffed
until
I'd be charged with Penal Code 148 for obstruction. And I got read the riot act, and 45 minutes of sitting on a curb handcuffed, they let me go.
Yeah. Well, you know they should handcuff you to a pole and never let you go, man. So you just stand there and you represent the biker culture as you wither away. All
that's
left
is something.
Just...
I have stood there before, and you get harassed. there ain't no just standing there and being socially or politically correct.
Yeah.
Ask a question. And the question is, do you also sell the book digitally, or is it just hard copy?
Well, with okay, on my side, it's just hard copy. If you're into Kindle or Nook, you can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble for that. But through me, you get the hard copy, and I've also, with the hard copy as well, I should mention that, I've recorded all the material in the book. So with the book, you get two audio CDs. So if you're not the kind that wants to crack the book open and take the time to do that, you can just pop in a CD and you throw it in your bike, throw it in your car or whatever, and hear me reading to you.
Nice.
Well, the way you read that last poem, it's definitely worth buying the book just to hear you read to me.
So you're saying, right? Larry, that a woman can get a blow-up doll, right, a bottle of wine, all right, and throw in one of your CDs and just keep smiling at the doll. That was nice. That was fucking nice.
As long as I could live the experience through osmosis, that's fine with me.
Well, you should throw in a blow-up doll. A Larry Shrewd, right?
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
And then you can have all kinds of people from around the country making poetry and sending you notes all about it.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, that's a hell of an idea.
See?
You know, let me share some with you guys, because I played this earlier. I don't think everybody heard it, but this is really good. Now think about what this guy said. This guy's name is Evan Seinfeld. He was originally with Biohazard, but now he's with Rusty's band called Attica 7. But he makes sense here with this comment. Listen to this.
What would you do if everyone you knew turned their back on you for something that wasn't true? And point their fingers at you for something you didn't even do. Something that didn't even have anything to do with you. When deep inside you always knew the hard, cold truth. That the ones who claim to be your friends were never, ever really down with you till the end. But now you know just what is true. Bullshit and lies you can see right through. Because the truth in their eyes speaks to the deepest part of you. Because deep inside you always knew that this facade ain't nothing new. That all the jealousy, hatred, and lies, that the truth about themselves is what they really despise. They dream your fall will help them to rise. But it's only the truth they really despise. Only shame on you for acting surprised, because in the end, the truth will ultimately be their demise. Because their eyes are blinded by the darkness of their own lies, ignorance and fear hides behind the guise of acting wise. But the truth can set you free, because there is no justice and there is no peace. Accused by your peers, sentenced by your fears, condemnation beyond comprehension, because there is no justice. And there is no redemption.
That
now that's a member of Bad right there. There you go.
Yep.
I like that. Very good.
And of course, that's a common truth, too. Didn't everybody listening has suffered that, correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. My best friend is my dog, right? What, everybody die? My best friend and my dog.
I started thinking.
We were waiting for the dog to talk.
Either that or a punchline. I was waiting for a punchline to come. My best friend is my dog, but the punchline never came.
Yeah. No, because the dog is totally faithful, and really we rely on each other, and we're close and tight, and we make passionate love. You know, we're here in New York here, where gay marriage is okay. And now we're into dogs and guys, you know. So,
does that mean
a dog? Hey, Phil, I'd like to really thank you for having me on tonight.
No worries.
And, again, everybody can also, we have a show on, we have our radio show on, Spirit of Bikers, national radio show on. You can find it in Google or on Facebook. All right, just Hank McGrath. And thanks again, brother.
Okay, hey, stick around. I want you to hear this song. This is a real good song. This is it's called One Percenter.
Nice tea.
I'm blowing up my doll. Hold on.
Here we go, right here. Listen to this song.
It's that Harley boy, Mike P. And they say I represent the 1% of the bad biker community. But I just represent free. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. I ain't a biker, homie. I'm a gangster on a bike. Yeah, the cops don't like me because I do what I like. It's an American dream for us to live free. But when the best think of me, they think of penitentiary. Don't play me, pig. You made me this way. I'm a fit in a cage filled up with rage. Take off that mask or kick your ass all day. Come here, fuck you and the fucking DA. 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent them all, but slipping nothing but a hood. You can see that one with the diamond crown. You better make room, I'll lay you down. I'm on the freeway grind with my middle finger up like fuck the world. I don't give a fuck. Today I represent the bad community, but what I represent ain't nothing but unity. So 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent the 1% that's nothing but hood. Today I represent the bad community, but what I represent ain't nothing but unity. So 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent the 1% that's nothing but hood. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. Jump on your bike and let's roll.
Send me the link to that, because ironically, myself and Golden Productions here in New York, we're working on a CD, one of the songs of which is Rap Like, you know? on Biker Rights. It's pretty interesting. So send me that, all right?
Yeah, I will. It's actually Mike P, the big homie. He's a he's an active member of the SFV chapter. A good friend of mine.
Yeah, well send that link to me. Make sure you send that link, all right?
Yeah, I will. As soon as we get out, good night, everybody.
All right, I'm going to skip out, and I thank everybody, all you girls. I salute you, Phil, and, of course, Larry. Always good to hear from you, man. AsphaltRange.com. And Peace, Love, Revolution, Spirit of Bikers, and Bikers Against Discrimination, Free1Percenter.com. Phil, Peace, Love, Revolution.
All right, good night, guys. Good night, Hank. Thanks for...
Good night, Phil. Thank you. Nice meeting you.
All right, good night.
Good night, ladies.
Good night.
let me play one of Mike's one of his tracks. Stand by, hold on. This is called Spice. I mean, not very radio friendly by terrestrial standards. It's called Give a Fuck. It's called Big Mike P, ladies and gentlemen. The 818. It's called Give a Fuck. Rap, it's kind of like southern rock / rap. I like it. It's like
this doesn't kick in. It hasn't kicked in yet. When it kicks in,
like
he gets after it.
But I like it. I mean, it's got kind of a, you know.
Hey, homie. Hey, speed this motherfucker up so I can spit some crazy rap shit to this shit. Give a fuck. Fresh out of jail.